Open your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And I want to read a couple of verses to you in the beginning. The title of my message tonight is Distinguishing God's Elect. Distinguishing God's Elect. And first, it's 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, Paul writes, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, there is absolutely no doubt that the Bible teaches that God chose a people and chose them to salvation in Christ before the world began. If there were no other place in the Bible, we could read that 13th verse. And Paul, writing to those beloved of God, he says, "Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." It tells us also that there is a remnant even now according to the election of grace. It refers to individuals in the Scripture as God's elect. It refers to the gospel as the faith of God's elect. And even Paul, when he was writing concerning his own hardships, suffering, and even imprisonment, he said, "I endure all these things for the elect's sake." He got there for preaching the gospel, but he said, "I endure these things for the elect's sake." Hold your place and turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24, where Christ is talking about these last days and the things that would transpire in the last days, days that are marked by tribulation. In Mark chapter 24 and verse 22, he says this, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." I'm so thankful for those words, "if it were possible. Behold, I have told you before, Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered. Now you might wonder what that is, but I believe it is a reference to the death of Christ and the gathering to his people around the death of Christ, the sufferings of Christ. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. God has an elect people. And this week, a dear friend of mine asked me a good question. They asked, how can you know if you're one of God's chosen? How can you know if you're one of God's elect? That's an important question. That's an eternal question. That's a soul significant question. Well, most would say and do say, especially religious people, they would say simply the elect are those who are religious. Or they would say they are those who have high morals. They're good moral people. Or some would say they're those that are sincere. Or maybe those that are kind. Or maybe they would say those that are generous people. Or those that are nice. Or those that read the Bible. Or those that attend religious services. Or maybe just those who are like them. You know, religion is like this. Me and you are the only ones that are right, and I'm not so sure about you. But that's not in any way what the Bible says. If you turn over back over to Matthew chapter 7, nobody makes it any more plain than the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is not the case. This is not what distinguishes God's elect. There can be many counterfeits, many people who do all these things, and yet they are lost and do not know God. Paul said that of his own people. He said they have a zeal toward God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to knowledge. And so Christ, speaking also here in Matthew 7 about that judgment that is to come, he says in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith to me, unto me, Lord, Lord." Boy, there's a lot of folks that say that these days. Lord, Lord. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Not everyone, but those that do his will. Do you know what his will is? The Bible says this is his will, that we believe on his Son whom he has sent. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We preached in your name. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works." I'm amazed at their audacity, at their blindness at that hour, at their pride. They say, "Haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? We've cast out devils in your name. We've preached sermons in your name. We've prophesied in your name." And Christ doesn't deny that they've done that. But look at what he says. He says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." Now he's omniscient. He knew about everything they did. He'll judge them on that basis, on his knowledge, what they, not what they thought they were, but on what he knows that they were. They did these things without his command. They did these things for their own glory. They did these things according to their own will. He says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." Surely he knew about them. But he never knew them in this sense of electing love. He never knew them in this sense of grace and mercy. "Depart from me, ye that work," what? Iniquity. Iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Iniquity simply means something like inequity, that which is not equal to what I require. All that you did, the numbers that you did, the money that you gathered and gave, all these things, many wonderful works, everybody praised you for them, everybody recognized you for them, you said you were doing it for the Lord, but I never knew you. You worked iniquity. You weren't equal to what I require. You are equal to your own standard, but that standard that I look at is far higher. You're not workers of righteousness, you're workers of iniquity. So he says to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you, I never loved you, I never chose you. Ye that work iniquity." But notice what he follows that with. What he follows that with is simply this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now I'm going to tell you this right now. God never told anybody to do anything to be saved. He commands us to do a lot of things. We have a lot of instruction as far as our relationships and various other things. But he never tells anybody to do anything to be saved. Why? Because we're saved by his grace. Because Christ has done the work. So he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Will it stand the test of time? Will it stand the judgment of God? And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not because it was founded on a rock. You know who that rock is, don't you? That's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, they don't believe them, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Same rains, same wind, same thing came against it, same test and trial of what it was. What was the difference? The foundation. The foundation. And it had to do with something about these sayings of Christ. These sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, he that heareth and doeth these sayings of mine, whoever believes them. And everybody says they believe. But James said the devil believes. He said, you say and you believe that there is one God? The devil believes that. He knows that for a fact. So it's got to be more than just believing in God. It's just a matter of believing God. What he says about his salvation and how he saves sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ. And most don't believe the truth. Look back at our text verse. He says that they are chosen to salvation from the beginning through a sanctification or a setting apart of the Spirit of God and belief of the truth. God's elect are distinguished because they believe the truth of God. If you take any of these other things, such as sincerity or zeal or reading the Bible or doing good works, if you take any of those things and make that the distinguishing mark of God's elect, there are a host of unbelievers who do those things. Zeal. They cross land and sea to make a proselyte. Good works. They give charitable works and things like that. They can be counterfeited, all those things. And if you judge it on this basis, it's not the people who don't do these other things.
They say one of God's elect wouldn't do this. One of God's elect wouldn't do that. But name what you will. I can show you in this book where one of God's elect did it. They're not known and they're not distinguished by what they do and by what they don't do. They're distinguished by what they believe, who they believe on, who their hope is, who their trust is. That which is most evident about God's people is they believe the truth. But most don't believe the truth because they've never heard the truth. They've heard sermons on about every subject of clean living, every subject of how you're to treat your neighbor, or political sermons and all different kinds of sermons, but they've never heard the truth. And I tell you how I know. I found out after 40 years of trying to preach it. Because when you tell them the truth, it is a total shock. It is a total surprise to them. You mean God's like that? Where did you get that from? I got it from the Word. I got it from His book. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Paul, as I said, was talking about his own people according to the flesh, national Israel. And he says in verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Somebody says, "Well, you just aren't concerned about missions. You aren't concerned about souls." That's a lie. Paul was concerned about his fellow man. And yet he's the one who sets forth most clearly the doctrine of electing grace. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." How do you know that, Paul? "Well, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." What's the righteousness of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes." They're busy working to establish a righteousness when the Lord Jesus Christ is already the righteousness of God. They're working to accomplish something that can't be done, which is a sinner pleasing God on his own. And then he comes down to verse 13. And we hear him say that statement which is so often repeated, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But what comes after that? "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." You know what the gospel of peace is? It's not telling a sinner to make his peace with God. It's telling a sinner that Christ made peace by the blood of his cross, as it says in Colossians. and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's what the gospel is. It's a report. It's a proclamation. It's not a proposition. It's a proclamation of what Christ accomplished in his life, death, and burial, and resurrection for all his people. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that God must give faith. He gives faith to his people. And he gives that faith to them as a gift by his Spirit. It's a gift of enabling to believe them to believe what he says in his word. Most every day I run it with somebody who says, I got faith. You don't even know the gospel, but you got faith. They say, I believe. I'm a believer. No. You're an unbeliever. You're a false believer. You're not a believer until you believe the truth. But that's what God does. He gives those he saves faith and enables them to believe the truth. Believe the gospel. Look over in Romans 11. He said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Has he cast off all of that national Israel, his people? God forbid. You know why? Because Paul himself was an Israelite. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. And that word means foreloved. You know, you read in Genesis, it says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Was he just aware of his wife and because of his awareness of her? No. It means that he loved her and they engaged in an intimate relationship. He knew her. And God foreknew his people. He says, wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, that's Elijah the prophet. He was praying against Israel. They treated him so bad. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. They killed all your prophets, torn up all your idol altars, and they're trying to kill me. I'm the only one left. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. You're not the only one. God has a people in every generation, out of every nation, kindred and tongue. He's redeemed them out. He's chosen them. He's saved them. And look at verse 5. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The election hath. The people God chose in Christ have. You see, God's elect are distinguished by the true gospel. Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." They won't hear the voice of a stranger. Oh, they might for a while. They will until the Spirit of God quickens them and gives them new birth. But they hear the voice of the shepherd when that happens. And they hear who the shepherd says that he died for. He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." The Pharisees, they didn't believe on him. They said, "We don't want to hear this. You're a blasphemer." He said to them, "You believe not because you're not of my sheep. You're not of my sheep." Not everybody is God's sheep, but every sheep of God, they don't believe and it therefore becomes sheep. They believe because they are sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. "Other sheep have I must bring." Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Listen to Paul. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Now, does that sound like you can earn any of it? Does that sound like that there's going to be degrees of it? That there's going to be rewards in heaven based on your works? He's already blessed them with all spiritual blessings. He's made Christ unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And most scholars believe that's where that sentence ends. And it begins the next sentence with this: "In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Not an act of our will. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." They say, men say, preachers say, "Well, you got to accept Christ." No, he had to accept us. God had to accept us, and he accepted us. He made us accepted. He graced us in Christ and gave us everything in that covenant of grace before the world began. But a little farther, it says this in verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted in Christ, after that you heard the word of truth." You couldn't trust in Christ before you heard the true gospel. That old religious profession, that old experience, I've had them all. Growing up, I had them all. Rededications, baptisms. But I couldn't trust Christ until I heard the gospel, which is what? The word of truth. The truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about what he actually accomplished. Well, what is the word of truth? He said, the gospel of your salvation. Growing up, I heard the gospel on how to be saved. The gospel on what to do to be saved. All these various gospels, which are just simply what Paul called another gospel. But when I heard the gospel, I heard the gospel of my salvation. Not for me to do something to be saved, but the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross, he accomplished all my salvation. He paid the price for my sin. He redeemed me. He did everything, and that's why he said, it's finished. And God brings his elect this good news, this news of Christ saving them through the truth. And that's why it's glad tidings, gospel. The Spirit of God will bring everyone to the gospel and the gospel to them. They're on a collision course. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. I'll make this brief for you. Paul and those that travel with him, they started in one direction, and the Spirit forbid them to go in that direction. They started in another direction to another town, and the Spirit of God stopped them. They started in another direction, and they were stopped by the Spirit of God. Says the Spirit forbid them to go there. So evidently, what they naturally thought was the last option, the least likely place that they thought that they would go and preach the gospel. But in the night, a man of Macedonia, in a vision, came to Paul and said, come over and help us. So they went to Philippi. And it just so happened. I love the sweet providence of God. An old preacher said that providence is the handmaid of salvation. God, in his working salvation, in the experience of his believer, his people, he's always bringing them toward the gospel and always bringing the gospel toward them. In some of the most unbelievable circumstances, in some of the worst hour, one man, when he was cast down into prison because he's a runaway slave, guess what? He's put in the same prison where Paul was. His name was Onesimus. He's a runaway slave, and Paul is writing to his master Philemon. He said, don't treat him like a slave when he gets out of here. Treat him like a brother. He's one of God's elect. He believed the gospel. Well, verse 14 says that when Paul and these men were just going down by the river, there was a crowd maybe of these ladies gathered. Verse 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She was a formal worshiper of God. But she, the Lord opened her heart. Listen now. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She believed the gospel that Paul preached, the gospel of God's grace. And she, like all of God's elect, heard the gospel which sets forth salvation in and by and for the glory of Christ alone. And the Holy Spirit revealed to her heart that this is the truth. You know what the Lord Jesus said that the Holy Spirit that He would send, who, by the way, is the Spirit of truth. All these people claiming to be led by the Spirit, and they're doing just exactly the opposite of what the Scriptures say. They claim to be led by the Spirit, but they're preaching exactly the opposite. They're preaching Christ as the opposite He is, and His work as the opposite of what He accomplished. They say things like this, well, God's done all He can do. If He's done all He can do, you're in trouble and I am too. But you notice why she believed. It's because the Lord opened her heart. Doesn't say about anybody there. Later on it does. He was preaching on another occasion. He said this. Some believed, some believed not. But as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. An old preacher by the name of Barnard said one time, as far as this gospel, the true gospel, he said nobody but a fool or a Christian will believe it. Because Christ said when the Spirit of truth comes, He'll take the things of mine and show them to you. He'll show you what I did. He'll show you who I am. God in human flesh. Sinless. Perfect. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you've got to read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Rather, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, when I came to you, well, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not in excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory if they'd really known who He was. But they were blind. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And he's revealed them to his people. What we find out when the Spirit of God takes the gospel and reveals the truth to us. Verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. They say, well, God revealed it to me that we're supposed to build a $10 million building. Or God revealed it to me. No, he didn't. That's another spirit. When he reveals the truth to his people, he shows them and makes known to them by that truth the things which are freely given to them, which is everything. One more portion, 1 Thessalonians 1. Beginning in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. Paul says of these believers at Thessalonica, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. How did he know that? For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Oh, it came in word. But not word only. It was joined with the Spirit of God, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. The reason why people don't have assurance is because they're looking everywhere but where assurance is. Verse 6, it says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Those that were around him, they made fun of him because they believed the truth. They cast them out of their social circles. They made fun of them. They told lies on them. That's always the way it is. They had it, they received it in much affliction. At first it afflicted them because it brought them down. A lady asked me one time, she said, you mean to tell me that all I've been doing all these years, coming to church, singing, giving, you mean to tell me it counts for nothing? I said, oh, it counts for something. It counts for sin. Because a sinner did it all. He says, and you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we have need not to speak of anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true, the living, and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead,
Even Jesus. Who we're going to wait for? This is the Jesus that God's elect waits for. The one who delivered us from the wrath to come. That's what he's doing on the cross. He's delivering us from the wrath to come. We shall be saved from wrath through him. He's delivering us from the wrath to come because he's bearing the wrath. He's bearing the wrath. The devils do believe that there's a God, but God's elect believe God. They believe Christ. They believe the truth of what it says about God and what it says about man, that he's dead and trespasses in sin and hopeless and helpless in himself. They believe in what it says about Christ, that he actually accomplished the salvation of his people. Christ said, he that is of God heareth God's word. And I always comes to my mind that word picture that old John Bunyan painted of the man Christian who lived in a city of destruction. And when he got the news that the whole city was going to be destroyed, he ran out of the city, and his young'uns and his wife and his friends all just begging him to come back, thought he was a madman. And Bunyan said he stuck his fingers in his ear and said, "Life, life, eternal life. We flee to Christ because that's who eternal life is in." God's elect believe the truth of the gospel. The true gospel. The word of truth. The gospel of their salvation. Our Father, tonight we come in your name. We come in the name of that is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that we might be found in him. We pray that we might be found in his righteousness, not ours, which is filthy rags. We pray that we might rest our souls and find that peace that he made by the blood of his cross. When people who were chosen of God and redeemed by Christ are quickened by your Spirit, they find out that the worst is already behind them. Christ faced it on the cross. And we are to live encouraging one another, helping one another, turning from these idols to the living God and the true God, and just waiting with anticipation until the one who loved us and gave himself for us returns in glory. Hasten the day, for we ask all things and pray all things. In Christ's name, amen.